Hope everyone's doing well and excited about what 2020 looks like. You know, I know it's very common. You know, the beginning of a new year, we do get naturally excited, hopeful about things. But I don't know about you, I really feel something really tangible and really change is coming into this body. And I think God has been preparing us over the last year and months to receive all that he has for us. So it was great hearing the guys share what they had on their hearts. And what was wonderful is, you know, there was really hopefully you'll find a thread of what God wants to do. It's really not what we want to do. Our heart is Jesus has a plan for this church, and we want to follow his plan. So first of all, before I start off, I just want to declare, make a declaration over all of us right now, over you, that you have a unique and very important place at the Bridge. I want you to hear that, and I want you to believe that in your heart. Because I'm going to share something out of Romans 12, and which again speaks about what that is like, what that looks like. And I'm going to pick it up from verse 4. I'm just going to read it through, and then I'm just going to give three very quick points. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing things, and in some translations, it says to exercise them accordingly. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's in giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be ready to practice hospitality. And so I'm just going to share, I just have a short period of time here because there's five of us that are speaking. I just wanted to outline three points that hopefully will resonate in your hearts. And one of them, again, as we read, you have a special, unique, and different gift that God has given you. And we need that gift operating in this body. If we're to be the church that God wants us to be, and for us to do what God has purposed and planned for us here at the Bridge. And you need to understand, too, that there's no gift that is better than another. All the gifts are needed. And we see a lot of this, too, in 1 Corinthians 12 as well, because it talks about us, again, being part of one body. And the other thing is that all are needed. All are needed if we are going to experience all that God has planned for this body in this place, in this time, in this generation. Point number two is you must exercise your gift. You must use it. And God says that not only has he given us different gifts, but to do them well. So he's giving us gifts. He knows that he's given us the ability to walk that out in whatever shape that looks like. Always be prepared and always be ready to use it because it's not an option. God has given you something that he wants you to share. He wants us to share with one another. Don't be afraid to use your gift. Don't believe the lie that says, I'm not ready, I can't do that. But believe instead what God has said, that He has given us all different and unique gifts. Believe the truth and not the lie. And remember that God has given you these gifts and ability to use them well, to use them with excellence. And you will when you do it with His heart. And always remember that it's His grace that empowers you to be able to do this so that you can be the person that God created you to be. And then the third point, and we see this in verse 5, is that we belong to each other. We are a family within the family of God. And as we were worshiping this morning, it just came to me to share this in this way, is that Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, when he's speaking of the spiritual gifts and to desire those spiritual gifts, but then as he starts and right at the end he says, but I have something that's even better than that. And he talks about that something better is love. And so the third point is we belong to each other. And we can see here in verse 9 that it talks about we need to love each other. We need to love each other, not as it says here, don't pretend to love others, but really love them with all of our hearts. Because we can have all the gifts and abilities in the world, but Paul says, unless we have love, it's like nothing. Love is what makes the difference, and love will last forever. So remember, you've been planted here at the Bridge, and God and this leadership team want you to flourish and grow and have an impact. And we can only do this when we live and work together in a real and authentic and loving relationship. So remember, you have a unique and very important place at the Bridge. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Well, good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well. I was waiting on God for a word to share with you this morning. Just turned on the news, and seems like there's lots going on, natural disasters, geopolitical tension. The world seems to be off to an interesting start. But God is in control, and the scripture that I would like to share with you this morning, and the word God has this morning for this body and the church at large is we are the remnant. We are remnant, biblically speaking, refers to what's left behind, the survivors, those that are left over. And there's clear, the concept is very clear in scriptures, and I'll walk through some examples, and I will be brief. So I'm reading from Zephaniah 3, verse 13. It says, the remnant of Israel will do no wrong. They will speak no lies. They will, nor will deceit be found in their mouths. And it goes on to say in verse 15, never again will you fear any harm. What God is saying, there's two points that I want to make this morning over this body. The first one is with respect to God's protection. So there would be, in the years to come and the decade to come, there will be things going on around us. But God's protection is over His remnant, the church, and is specifically over this church, this body. what God reminded me this morning is about Abraham, who was called out of Ur of the Chaldees and became God's remnant on the earth. He was one man. We see it in Exodus when God led the remnant of His people out of a bondage in Egypt by the hand of Moses leading them. We see it with Gideon as his little band of only 300 warriors against the mighty forces of the Midianites. We see it again in David's life, small band of outcasts against a great army of King Saul. We see it in Samuel and all the prophets who stood against idolatrous kings and their cruel empire. And finally, we see the remnant in the tribulation period when the word of God says Satan's wrath comes against Israel and the remnant of her seed, which keeps the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we see it in the life of Jesus, where he had the remnant, the 12, take the gospel forward. So the 2 points God is making this morning that he wants me to impress on your heart is that we are the remnant. We are under his divine protection. I see that others will see his hand upon our life in terms of his protection over us. And that will be a drawing point. The Holy Spirit will draw people to his kingdom and his church through us. So we will have many opportunities to witness to others about God's faithfulness and to expand his kingdom. So that's one point. And secondly, we will find ourselves in many situations where we are the remnant. We are going to be visibly few in number, but the remnant is good enough. So if God has called you to do something, go ahead and do it. This is the time. The remnant is sufficient with God's help. So to summarize, we are the church. The church is the remnant of God. God's protection is over us, which will draw others into the kingdom. We are sufficient in number to move forward in the things God has called us to do. Amen.
I'm not going to preach. So, no, seriously. So, about last week, I had gone to sleep, and I woke up with this picture. And the picture was, how many of us remember what a 35-millimeter camera looks like? How many of us, maybe not over here, but how many of us remember when you had to actually physically go to a place and develop that role, and you couldn't get it right away? Imagine that. So I woke up with this picture of a 35-millimeter roll of film, and I thought, okay, that's pretty interesting. So I asked the Lord, what does that 35-millimeter roll of film mean? And I heard this. He says the Lord saying, I'm going to unreal and reveal. He says, I'm going to unreal and reveal. So I said, what does that mean? So essentially, within the roll of film, there are already pictures once you've taken the pictures. And once you reach the end of that film, this is just for those that don't know what that is. Once you reach the end of that film, that roll of film now is this tiny little thing where you have to actually go and get it developed. But within that film, once you've taken that picture, those pictures are in that roll of film. But you actually have to now go and get that film developed. So those pictures that are in the film, which I sense were the promises of God that have been hidden, and not just hidden, but it was not time for them to become to start fruition yet. And so what I sense the Lord saying is that I'm going to start to unreel that roll of film. And you're going to start now to see those things, those promises, as a church, as family, as personally. You're going to start to see those rolls, that roll of film, unreel. And those pictures start to develop. And it's not going to just be everything now in 2020. No, that's not. But it's the beginning process of now unreeling and seeing those pictures that the bridge has had. And for some of us, longer than I have, 30-something years, some of us. So you know all the promises, the prophetic words that have been spoken over this place. And there's just strong sense of the Lord saying, okay, you're going to start to see these things now start to come to pass.
So when I was asking God for this year ahead, he brought me back to John 3:16. And you know, when you're brought back to that verse, and everybody knows it, "For God so loved the world," I'll read it now. You think, really? Maybe that's just for me personally. But as I pushed into it more, I was really more convinced that this is not just for me personally, but for all of us. So I'm going to read, I'm reading the New Living Translation for the purposes of this morning. "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants." There are three things I wanted to highlight from this. The first is, God didn't send his Son to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Now, having just prepared and delivered a sermon on eternal judgment, you know, I feel like there's a need to just clarify this, because it's very clear in the scripture that Jesus will be the judge on that day of eternal judgment. But what this is talking about is when God sent Jesus into the earth, onto the earth, was not to judge the world there and then, as God had done, for example, when he sent the flood in Noah's time. But he sent Jesus to demonstrate his love for everyone by providing an atoning sacrifice so that all who believe in Jesus as Messiah, Son of God, will not face that eternal judgment on that day, but be reconciled to the Father for eternity. The second point is, people loved the darkness more than the light. And I was amazed how true this is still today. And I sometimes find that incredible, that something written 2,000 years or so ago is still so relevant today in our society. But then I was sort of prodded by God to say, why? Why do you find that incredible? I shouldn't find it incredible. Scripture is God-breathed, and it's been relevant from the day that it was first revealed to us every single day since. This is the reality of the world around us today, however, is that people love the darkness more than the light. And that's two kinds of people. People who've never heard the name of Jesus and don't know that they're in darkness, and those that have heard the name of Jesus and know that they're in darkness, and they fear being exposed or brought into the light. And those who've never heard the name of Jesus fear coming into the light because they're not familiar with what it is. The final point, and I'm going to sort of wrap all these up together, but the final point from the scripture is, those who know Jesus and do what is right come to the light so others can see. This is our responsibility as believers, that we come to the light, that is Jesus, so that others can see him living in and through us. We don't come to the light to make our lives happy and comfortable. We come to the light so that we can share that light with others who are in darkness. We have a great commission to make disciples wherever we go. So I believe God is wanting to remind us of his love for every single person that he created in his likeness. He wants to remind us that even though we in our weakness are quick to judge those who stay in darkness for fear of having their sins exposed or for fear of what they don't know and don't understand, he doesn't choose to judge them. He loves them so much that he sent Jesus so that they too would have the opportunity to accept him as Lord and be saved from that future eternal judgment. I believe that God is going to bring the lost, not in ones and twos, but in multitudes. I believe that each and every one of us who calls on Jesus as Lord in our lives is going to have multiple opportunities this year to tell those who don't know him about the unconditional love of Jesus for them. God is going to provide these opportunities to us. It's up to us how we respond. If each one of us led one person to the Lord this year, then they led one person to the Lord this year, and so on. Imagine the impact in our communities. How about leading two people to the Lord, or three, or five? What does that look like for us in our neighborhoods? What does that look like for us in our workplaces? And what does it look like for us in our schools? How about here at the Bridge? Are we ready for the abundance of God this year? Are we ready to worship with two, three, four times as many people as are gathered here today? Are we ready to open our homes to those who are hungry to know the Word of God? Are we excited about what God wants to do through us this year? God didn't send his son to judge the world, even though he had more than enough reason to do so. He sent him to save the world by his love. God didn't send his son so that we who have his light in our lives would go out and judge the world. He sent his son so that we would share the light in our lives, a light that shows the love of the Father for every single person he has created in his likeness. I believe in 2020, God wants to remind us why he sent his son.
Thank you, guys. That's the beauty of working in team. That's the beauty of having a team. So I can't remember who said so, but one of them spoke about listening for the golden thread, as I like to call it, going through. I want you to know these are not guys just go and think about something and then stand up and let's just say it and let's wow the crowd for a while. It's not it at all. We got together, we prayed about it, we spoke about it. We thought it through, and if you notice, there were a number of times that they used the word, and not because I told them to, but I think it's the Holy Spirit working, vision and declaring. And again, I was to reiterate some of the stuff that the guys said. Michael, you are all valuable. I mean, I don't have this gift and I don't have that gift. Doesn't matter. What gift have you got? Because we all have a gift and you are all valuable. But the point is, you must exercise and use your gift. And I'd like to say 2020 is a year to exercise and use your gift. Carmichael spoke about us being the remnant, and the takeaway for me was, we don't have to be a large church to be impactful. We just got to have God's people who are willing to set aside and work and do God's work. And we can extend, and I mean, I'll talk about what I want to talk about just now. And then his promises are true, and it's time of unreeling and revealing. I think that's an absolutely brilliant word for us, because some of you are probably thinking the promises of God I haven't seen them fulfilled. The promises of God haven't come true yet. The promises of God, well, hold on to your seats. It's 2020. And I trust that these are going to be true. And I have faith that promises that you've been crying out to God for will be unreeled and will be revealed to his glory. I believe we do. We still live in a fallen world. God is sovereign. God is good. God is on the throne. But we do. We fall in a world that is dark. But the love of the Father for us through his son Jesus is preeminent. I think Michael said it as well. Everything we do is through love. And if we don't love, then we don't get to step into that realm. And so what I feel this for this year is combinating and drawing all of that together. We feel that the Lord is offering for 2020 a vision that encompasses more than we could ever imagine or dream of. And I know it sounds very 2020 vision. Oh, that's so cute. No, but I really think it's a word of God upon our lives. And we can take it and play with it. or we can take it and believe it, that it is a 20. And I'll give you some reasons. In the natural, the visual acuity test that is done, they look at the number of filters that they go through of your peripheral awareness, your eye coordination, your depth perception, your ability to focus, and your color vision. And I just see those are all beautiful aspects in the spiritual for us to be able to. Thanksgiving. God is not finished with the season that we've walked into. And again, I say it almost every year, is that God is not stuck by time and space, but God is outside time and space. It's us that go, oh, it's January, it's a new year. And God is not surprised by that. He's happy. And so it's a new year, but I don't necessarily believe it's a good new season. The season we started off with last year was step out the boat. Let's step out from the natural into the supernatural, and I still believe that is effective for us because we haven't seen enough of that. We want to, and we have to learn and get it into our hearts to think supernatural and not think natural. And we see that 2020 is not just a new year, but it's a new decade. And so we have to think into that as well and see far-ranging. Everything that we've spoken about is not just a good word for us for today. It's good word for us for the rest of the year and into 2021 and so on and so forth. So yeah, I'm going to get a little bit weird for you, some of you. But because I love biblical numerics, I did a little bit of study. And so in the Gregorian calendar, it is 2020. But in the Hebrew calendar, it's 5,780. And so what that means, though, it is the year of Pi, P-E-Y, and they say Pi. And that means that it's the year of declaration. And the letter Pi is shaped like this, and it is in the shape of an open mouth, which in the Hebrew calendar means to declare. So Pi, because I love numerics, Pi is the 17th number of the Hebrew alphabet, and that means victory. Who wants some victory this year? Come on, let's get a bit excited. We want victory. I want some victories in my life. I want victory over this mortal body that is subject to flu every now and then. I want Pi. When we look at the letter Pi, the biblical value of Pi, and you have to just remember what I've all said about mouth and declaration. The letter Pi has value in the alphabet as 80. And the letter 80, the number 80 in numerics means a letter of the year of prayer and declaration. So this is not just something we make up as we go along. If you go and study it, you will see it's a good thing. So we want to see a year 2020 vision that we will see what we say, we declare, and we continue to step out of the boat. We declare with our mouths the oracles of God. We don't declare what we just feel like we're going to declare. Like, let's name it and claim it. Let me just tell you right now, that's not even biblical. So let's just set that aside. Well, we're just going to name it and we're going to claim it. It's not biblical. It's a nice, cute saying that someone came up with to lead people astray. We have to declare the word of God. When we want to see stuff come to pass, we declare the word of God. If it's not in his word, let's not do it. We can't simply think it. We can't just be, well, I thought that thought. No, no, no. This is a year we're going to declare it. And when we say, stand here and we go, because I'm using it as an example, I feel so sick. No, no, let's declare I'm healthy in Jesus' name. Let's declare he has rights over this body and the enemy doesn't. Let's declare the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Let's declare and that we will get to see what we say. Yes. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. It remains for us. If you still want to walk on water, you have to get out the boat. Amen. A year, and I want to say, some of you, when we spoke about it, some of you took some tentative steps out the boat. But I think somehow spiritually you went and got back in the boat. And I want to say this year is not a year to get back in the boat. Bridget saw this thing the other day and I just thought, man, this is a year of not getting back in the boat. It is a year for us to leave footprints in the sands of impossibilities. We say it's not possible. God says it is possible. A year of declaring the impossible over the possible. A year of declaring the supernatural over the natural. A year of victory and overcoming. Yes. Amen. Yes. For the 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through your whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. You want to be that? You want to be blameless towards God? His eyes are seeking those he can give support to, that we declare the goodness of our Father. Our heart at the Bridge has always been to honor the name of Jesus, to declare the majesty of Almighty Father, to walk in the goodness of Holy Spirit. Our mission at the Bridge, and if you've been here a while, you should be able to say this without even thinking by now. At the Bridge, we connect all people to encounter God's Word and Spirit. That's not a cute saying. The elders will tell you a number of years ago, we went away and we prayed about it and we thought about it and we wrote it out and then we changed it and then we wrote it out again. Then we prayed some more and then we... You think coming up with a sense something as simple as that is easy? You should try it. It's not that easy. We have to understand that this expression of who we are keeps this army of God on the move. We always need to bear in mind that our city wall, our fortress, our building, that's simply what it is a bastion of the Bridge, is never meant to keep us locked in, and it is never ever meant to keep those that are earnestly seeking God out. This is just keeps us warm today because we need to be warm today, and in summer will keep us cool, and when it rains, it'll keep us dry. Digging into the prophetic words of the past, looking forward. This is a haven from the storm, a place of shelter, a safe place of love and learning, for some a short term of healing. We are not a hospital ship with a few troops. We are a battleship with a small sick bay, of which at the moment I'm there. But I proclaim that I'm going to be healed and get out of the sick bay. We are not a community church, but a church within our community, influencing outward. Our centrality is not community. Our centrality is Jesus Christ, to uplift his name and the gospel of grace that he offers to us. We are connected to the life source. We are connected to the heavenly realm, to the Father. For Ephesians 2, we are seated in heavenly realms with our Father. And we need to understand that. We have overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. We live and breathe the gospel of grace that brings us liberty. We are the lighthouse. When all is crashing around you, we have the source of light to God, to govern and to guide. Yet, at the same time, we are also a harbor of safety and for the weary. Philippians 1:1, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I feel a little bit like Martin Luther King here. It's pointless to dream alone. Yeah. I can have all these dreams, but if we all don't dream together or keep the dream silent in our breasts, and I dream of this and I dream of that, and sometimes I'm not good at it because a lot runs around in this little tiny piece up here. And sometimes we just got to declare it and say it. So this morning I'm going to declare it. I dream, or I declare, of this church going to 500 plus. That is accomplished through prayer, by declaration, and by you, not me, you, inviting family, neighbors, and strangers to come and be part of us. Isn't that exciting? You know, some of you think so. I dream of a church where his presence is paramount. Otherwise, we're just a club. We want God's presence to be paramount. We want, when we walk in here, we want to feel the tangible presence of God. I dream of mature, whole, and healthy children of God, fulfilling their call in God. I dream of men and women living in unity, in holy mattering, honoring one another. I dream of a church where singles and single parents are celebrated. I dream of a church that are willing and excited to serve one another. I don't want to live in a church with the 80-20 rule, meaning that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. I want to see that reversed. completely. I dream of a church that are willing and excited to serve one another. I dream of a church where every generation is celebrated and does their part. I want us to realize we are a multi-generational, multi-ethnic, multi-traditional, multicultural church. And that means absorbing and getting everything involved for every age group. It means we are truly God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, multi-generational God who serve, and we serve him as a multi-generational people. I dream of a church where the young people will surpass their own expectations. Some of you young people, you don't dream enough. You don't have, we just come and we do our thing. No, go beyond your expectations. I dream of that. I dream of us being a church of irresistible influence. Wherever we go, God offers opportunities for us to spread his gospel and to preach the gospel, and sometimes just by our lives and our acts of kindness. I dream of a people to whom evangelism, meaning sharing the gospel, is a normal thing. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we do that? I dream of a church when we get together, do we have so many testimonies of going over the wall and salvations that we listen to the stories all morning. How about that? That one of us doesn't get to preach that Sunday because the testimonies just keep coming and we just keep praising God. I dream of a base church where we will plant churches, support church plants, and encourage other churches. I dream of the Olives. I dream of all of God's people owning all of the vision, using all of their gifts, living in all of the values to fulfill all of God's purposes, to disciple all of the nations. That's what I dream. You want to dream with us as the eldership?